Welcome to the Pneuma Church podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deep in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy this message.
Thank you, Jesus. We love you. We honor you in this place. Thank you for your presence, Holy Spirit. We love you, Lord. And we still our hearts before you this morning as we open your word. I pray that you would prepare our hearts for whatever it is that you want to speak to us today. I thank you that you're ministering to us already. It's already begun. And so I just pray, Father, come and do what only you can do, that you would be glorified through everything that we do today. We love you and we honor you. Why don't you give him some praise this morning? Amen and amen. As you take your seat. Ah, wow. I was bawling like a baby during baptisms. What a beautiful moment. As you see, some of the people who got baptized, don't rush off. Encourage them as you leave. Give them a hug. That's such a beautiful, beautiful moment that we shouldn't just gloss by. It's such a powerful thing, baptisms, isn't it? So before I get into the word, we have some very special people with us here at Pneuma Melbourne West. We are very privileged to have Pastor Joe and Blessy Samuels with us here at the front. So for those of you who don't know, Pastor Joe oversees and cares for and leads all our location pastors across Pneuma. And we're very, very blessed to have him in that step into this role just this year. And we're very, very grateful for you and Blessy, and we love your girls. So make sure you come and say hi if you don't know them. You've already had some family come up and say we've missed you after not seeing them for so long. But please make them feel welcome. We're all part of the family here, right? So yeah, we just love you guys. Thank you for being here with us. All right, who's ready to get into the word? Okay. You know, recently, I think it was about a couple of months ago, a month and a half, if you don't know this about myself and Dave and our kids, we're big rugby fans, so rugby league fans. And so we go for the Melbourne Storm and we went to the... they're playing next weekend. We went to the rugby recently as a family. And, you know, in halftime, sometimes in the shows, they do these competitions and they'll get, you know, people from the crowd to do these competitions. Well, in this one, there was two big piles of foam shapes. So of all shapes and sizes, it wasn't cubes or else it would have been so easy. But they were like arch foam, there were like weird triangle shapes and all sorts of shapes. And the goal was whoever got the tallest structure out of these shapes and the one which held firm, that stood at the end of it, won. And so I noticed that the person who did win, they took more time on their foundation. You know, they were very careful. And at one point, I thought they were going to lose because they were so careful. They were very cool, calm and collected as well. The other person was like, you know, just trying to throw things on to get it taller. And in the end, the person who took more time on the foundation, this person's structure stood at the end of the minute or so, and he came away with the win. And it turns out afterwards when they interviewed them that they were actually father and son and they were builders. So it's funny. One of them, when I was watching them, I was like, one of them built with wisdom and the other one of them built wanting not to lose, which ended up costing him in the end. And his dad had bragging rights, I'm sure, at the end of the game. Now, this is a game that I'm talking to you about, but it speaks to something really important, and that's foundations. Foundations are really important. You know, when you think of a house, I'm the least qualified person, but to talk about houses and building. However, I do know one thing, that the most important thing is the foundation. And so if there's trouble in the foundations of a house, over time, there'll be all sorts of issues with the entire structure. There'll be cracks in the walls and all sorts of things. So when you think of building anything, you know, the things that are unseen are some of the most important. And so in an organization, you know, the things like healthy culture and integrity are some of the most important foundational things, but we can't exactly see them. And so as we open the word today to Matthew 7, Jesus has begun his Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, and he ends his Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 7, he's spoken about the Beatitudes, which I preached about a couple of months ago, and he spoke about being salt and light, about topics such as anger and oaths and loving our enemies and not being anxious. But he says this about foundations in Matthew 7, 24 to 27. If you don't have your Bibles here today, it's on the screen behind me. It says this: "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against that house and it fell. And great was the fall of it." So today I want us to reflect on and ask ourselves, what are we building our lives on? And, you know, when we read this passage, which is, you know, very familiar and known to a lot of us in the room, we can see a couple of things. The storms came for both houses. And so the same kind of trials, similar to both the foolish and the wise builder. But we see the end result was very different. And, you know, Jesus said in John 16:33, he said, "I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." It's inevitable that we'll experience suffering and trials and pains and tribulation. And it's a given. However, what is just as much as a given is that Jesus has overcome the world. And so Jesus offers us a peace which coexists with tribulation, a peace which is grasped and comprehended in and through hardship, trials, and suffering. Isn't that incredible? They coexist. And I always find this passage interesting because Jesus offers peace to us, that you may have peace, and he promises tribulation. You will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. So this is our foundation of peace in Jesus. He's in control, nothing surprises him, you know, and he's already won the victory. So this is the first thing we see. The second thing is there are two descriptions of hearers in this parable through a comparison of two builders. So we see one was wise and built upon the rock, and his building stood in a storm, and one was foolish and built on the sand, and his building fell in a flood. There are two hearers. They both heard, but only one of them did what Jesus told him. And it's interesting, you know, before we get to this passage in Matthew 7, it talks about in verse 21 around, "Not everyone who calls me Lord, Lord will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." So what does this tell us? Words are actually not enough. You know, it shows us that the hearing that God requires of us is not passive hearing. Another thing that this passage shows us is that the storm revealed the nature of what was hidden, what was underneath. So storms, trials, and tribulation, they're a revealer of our foundation. It's evident when the storms and the trial comes if our lives are truly built on the rock or on sand. So when things don't go the way that we prayed for them to go, what is revealed about our foundations? When we can't make sense of what's happening in our lives or in the world around us, what is revealed about our foundations? Or whatever situation we find ourselves in, what is revealed about our foundations? Levi read out this passage just before, James 1, 22 to 25. It says, "But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing." We see here in this passage that it's possible for us to hear God's word continually and for it not to translate into action. And just as in Matthew 7, here is the thread. The difference is obedience. It's action. It's living out the word. So what is obedience? Obedience in the biblical context refers to the act of submitting to the commands, laws, and will of God. And it's fundamental to the Christian faith. It reflects our commitment to God as believers and his word. And this is important. Obedience is not just about following rules, but it's an expression of our love, trust, and reverence for God. It's ultimately choosing God's will over our own. It is obedience that Jesus is asking for. And in this passage, Matthew 7, it's Jesus' claim that obedience to him is the only sure foundation for life. And it's his promise that the life which is founded on obedience to him is safe. And no matter what storms may come, we are safe. You know, if we look back to James, that scripture in James 1, there is a comparison here as well. When we hear and obey, we allow the word to take root in our hearts. And when we simply hear, we don't allow the word to take root in our hearts and we easily forget. So the benefit of listening is short-lived. There's a short-lived benefit. It's like vapor. It comes and it goes. That's why the example of the mirror is used. When you look at yourself in the mirror and then you walk away and then you forget what you look like in the mirror. If we are hearers only, we receive a fleeting vision of what God meant for us to be and by God's grace, what we're becoming. Yeah. There is no growth. There's no maturity. There's no moving forward. You know, the listener is one who takes the time and intention to look into what is heard, the perfect law, and consider the personal implications for living out that word. Following Jesus is a life to be lived out. So what we find, it's not enough just to hear Jesus' words, to understand them, to remember them, to talk about them, to repeat them. While these things are amazing, we need to hear them and obey them and apply them to our lives. You know, in Ephesians 2, 19 to 22, it tells us that Jesus is the cornerstone in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. Cornerstone means the tip of the angle. So it refers to, again, I don't know much about building, but I researched this. It refers to the capstone or the binding stone that holds the whole structure together. And it's the most important stone in the structure because the stability of the whole building depends on it. So what does that tell us? Jesus is the only sure foundation. So is our life built on the rock that is Jesus? Or is our foundation self-made on sand? I'm going to have a sip of water. Bear with me just a moment. So as we obey God's word, what we hear from God's word our experience in Him and with Him becomes our wisdom. We grow in godly wisdom. We are then able to consider wisdom that comes from or information that comes from all sorts of outlets, but we're then able to weigh it against God's wisdom. And so filter it through the Word, filter it through the cross. And we desperately need heaven's perspective. I don't know about you, but in my life, in every area of my life, I desperately need heaven's perspective. I have a 10 and 8-year-old. I desperately need heaven's perspective. We've been married for 16 years. I desperately need heaven's perspective. Who's married, right? I love him and he's amazing. But let's be honest, marriage, it's work. We have to do the work. We need heaven's perspective. In our relationships where there's conflict, we need heaven's perspective. God gives wisdom to people for sure. For sure he does. But we should always weigh people's perspectives against the Word of God. Because there's a lot of noise out there. Proverbs 1:7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction." Proverbs 9:9-10 says, "Give instruction to a wise man and he will be wiser. Teach a righteous man and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight." So wisdom and knowledge have a starting place, and it's the fear of the Lord. Awe and reverence towards the Lord. And the thing is, if we are too familiar with God, we are more likely to not hold his words with the awe and the reverence that is deserved to him. Perhaps our words or other people's words will hold more weight. But if we're growing in the knowledge of the truth, the more we see the greatness of God, and the more we see the greatness of God, the greater our capacity to have reverence of him, to love him, to know him and obey him. You know, our human knowledge can find its limitations when we don't understand something. Who's been through something where you're just like, I don't understand? Yeah. When I have been struggling this year with many things happening across all different areas, I've constantly been asking God, what are you doing? I don't understand. I think I've asked that question more this year than any other season combined. And God hasn't always given me the answers that I want, but he gives me what I need. In those times, God's led me to declare a scripture over my life, over my marriage, over my family, over our church. Or he's filled my heart and mind with his peace and comfort. You know, knowledge is not enough. We need our own revelation of Jesus and of the Word, and that changes everything. You know, I love to read, like, lots of different things. I've got a library card and I'll go and check out new books, and I'm interested in reading about all sorts of things. And while it's interesting and it helps me to go, oh, that's a new perspective, I haven't read anything that's changed everything for me like this. I haven't seen a 30-second TikTok or reel that's changed everything for me like this. You know, Proverbs 3:5-6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your straight your paths." It also hinges in our trust of him and his word over trust in ourselves and human understanding, because it's limited, it's finite. There's an end to it. And you know, there's been so many times in my life where I could have walked away from God completely. You know, there were really difficult times where I was like in a hole and I was like, I don't know if I can do this anymore. But my revelation of Jesus makes it so I could never walk away from him. Even in the darkest times, even in the darkest ditches and holes, I've tasted and seen the goodness of God. That's my testimony. Is that your testimony? You know, when in John 6:68, when Simon Peter answers Jesus and says, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. That's what I've realized. Where am I going to go to if I ever stepped away from Jesus? To whom, to where, to which outlet of wisdom? There's nothing else. He alone has words of eternal life. Amen. And once we really know him, there's nowhere else to go. So even when I don't understand some things, I trust him and his word. I've done enough life with God to know things go terribly wrong for me when I lean on my own understanding. And I'm coming to terms with that, coming to terms with the fact that there are some things I'll never understand on this side of eternity. But this I do know. When the storm comes and we are shaken, we will respond according to the foundation on which our life is built. So it begs a question. How do we build our lives on the rock? God's word needs to be our foundation. You know, when God's word is our foundation, there's only one opinion that matters above all, and that's God's. So God's word gets on the inside of us, takes root in our hearts, and the Holy Spirit convicts us on how to live. You know, Psalm 119, 105 to 106 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have sworn an oath and confirmed it to keep your righteous rules. You know, the word of God actually locates where we are and the path we need to run to and remain on. It's a guide for our everyday life, a guide to our next step and to light the way ahead, especially in moments of doubts and hard times and when fear takes a hold of us, which is happening all across the world. The word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And the psalmist made a pledge, an oath, to obey and continually obey. The next couple of verses, 107 to 111 in Psalm 119 says, I am sorely afflicted. Renew and quicken me, O Lord, according to your word. Accept, I beseech you, the free will offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me your ordinances. My life is continually in my hand, yet I do not forget your law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I do not stray from your precepts. Your testimonies have I taken as a heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. We see in this passage even that the psalmist's obedience isn't coming from a place of ease and of comfort. It's coming from a really difficult season. And he asks God to renew him according to his word. Especially in the hardest seasons, the way that Jesus meets and ministers to us is extraordinary. I can testify that in some of the darkest moments, I have felt the presence of God more. The most. I have grown the most. Yes, I have been stretched, but I have grown the most. I have fallen in love with God more. Because this is a thing that we need to understand. And it's really important. The Word of God has answers for every situation and every crisis and for every day. So the psalmist asks God to teach him. So he does not forget his law. So he does not stray from his precepts, and that his testimonies are taken as a heritage forever. You know, our will, our thoughts, our perspectives and opinions continually need to be aligned, shaped. They need to be shaped by God's word until they are aligned to it. So I'll say that again. Our will, our thoughts, perspectives and opinions, they continually need to be shaped by God's word until they align with it. As James 1:25 says, the hearer is the one who looks into the perfect law. And he also says this, perseveres. So he looks into it and perseveres. So one that lives in the study of the word until it's engrafted and it's absorbed. So when we hear the word of God, we are mindful of the word. We practice the word. It becomes a guide into our relationships, our character, our whole lives. And through this process, God continually reveals more and more of himself to us. I'm going to invite the worship team to come. So, how do we build our life on the rock? God's word has to be our foundation, but also obedience. So when we feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit to have that conversation, we do it. When we read in Colossians 3:13 or in Matthew 6 that Jesus asked us to forgive, we take steps to do it. John 14:15 says, if you love me, Jesus speaking, you will keep my commandments. Obedience is a result of the value we ascribe to God. So how much we love him. And as we grow in love with Jesus, instead of fearing him, like we're scared of him and his judgment, instead of that, as we grow in love with Jesus, we fear disappointing him or breaking his heart. The key is not the doing, it's the reason for the doing. This deals with the question of why. Why obey? Why keep God's commands? And we know that this is an overflow of our love for him. First Samuel 15:22 says, and Samuel said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices and as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice and to listen than the fat of rams. You know, this is a prophet Samuel speaking to Saul, who did not do what the Lord commanded him to do with the Amalekites. You can read the story in 1 Samuel 15 if you haven't read it before. And God told Samuel that he regretted making Saul king, because he heard the word of the Lord, but he did not obey it. And in Saul's eyes, you can read in Psalm 15, he was like, no, I did what the Lord asked me to do. I obeyed. But the things that he did not destroy, the people used to sacrifice to the Lord. And that's why he says, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrificing as in obeying the voice of the Lord? To obey is better than to sacrifice. Offerings and sacrifice without obedience are empty before God. And the best sacrifice that we can give is a repentant heart and our body surrendered to his service for obedience. It's both. It's both and. It's hearing and obeying. We can't separate them. So what are the benefits of building our lives on the rock that is Jesus? One of the greatest ones that just makes me weepy is we really know him. He's not just a concept or a story or a myth, but he's our Lord and our Savior and our friend. We really know him. We grow in our revelation of him, and it goes beyond our human capacity. You know, in so many places in the Bible, it says he gives us a peace that surpasses understand. Like we could never understand. But it becomes our lived experience. We experience it. We can't fathom it. We can never understand it. but we experience it. It becomes our reality. We daily encounter him. You know, I read a quote over the weekend, the word, his heart is to have a word with us. The one who is the word wants to have a word with us in our daily life. He personally speaks to us. We experience, like I said, his peace and his joy and his strength. So as we come to the time, the end of our time together this morning or this afternoon, I want to pray this over us from Ephesians 1, 16 to 23. I'm just going to ask you to close your eyes for a moment. It says this, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Jesus. Jesus. Father, I just thank you this morning for your word. Thank you that it is a firm foundation for us. Thank you that it is living and breathing and speaks to whatever situation we might find ourselves in this morning. And as we open it and allow it to take root in our hearts, oh God, you will meet us with your love and your grace and your mercy and your kindness and your faithfulness. And you also convict us of how to live our lives and how to really build our life on the rock that is Jesus. So just pray for everyone in this room as we walk out this journey with you. Would you come and convict us this morning? Would you come and speak to us about how we're holding your word? If we're giving you the awe and reverence that you deserve. Or convict us, Lord, if we've grown too familiar with you and your word. I pray for a fresh revelation for us all of you today. Give us eyes to see. Unveil our eyes to see you rightly. We just love you and we honor you in this place. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Now, we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.